Welcome to today's episode of the Road to Medical Sales Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We will have episodes for you every week, and we will compress a ton of value into about 10 to 15 minutes to help motivate you to chase after your greater purpose and live life on your terms. My name is Scott Macon, and this is episode number 2. Hello, everyone. Today, I am talking to my good friend, Russ Cipriani. Russ has been a recruiter for over 24 years at the Edwards Search Group, and he specializes in placing people into medical sales, sales management, marketing, and clinical support positions across the nation. I wanted to bring him on to learn about his journey, break down what a recruiter does, and uncover the value that this can bring to you in your current or future job search. This personally hits home for me because I remember when I was still working in the restaurant industry, I had just graduated college, so I started to look for jobs online, and I explored websites like Monster.com, Career Builder, and Glassdoor. I remember posting my resume out there, but I had zero luck. I was lucky to get hired out of the restaurant when the vice president of sales sat at my table and invited me in for an interview, but what if that VP never came into my restaurant? I could still be waiting tables to this day. Had I known what a recruiter was at the time and the services that they provide for free, I would have absolutely explored those options. However, after I had spent 3 years at my first medical sales job, I was ready for a change. It was then that I had heard about recruiters and started to reach out to them. I remember the recruiter that I had at the time. He not only set up the interviews for me, but he actually helped me prepare for those interviews, giving the right verbiage and talking points. For example, he taught me that it is vital to always ask the interviewer if they would be recommending you for the position. In other words, you are closing them for the next step. Anyway, that is a big reason why I decided to bring Russ onto this podcast. He actually helped my fiance 3 years ago transition from a cubicle desk job as a business analyst to a medical sales job at Boston Scientific, which for all of you that don't know, is one of the biggest and most well-known medical device companies in the world. He helped coach her through the whole interview process, and after 5 interviews, she began her career in medical sales. So for that, I'm extremely thankful for him and wanted to bring him on the air. With that being said, thank you so much for coming on this podcast with me today, Russ.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it. I really love what you're doing here.
I want to start off by asking you to share your journey on how you became a recruiter.
Well, back in the mid-90s, I was in a B2B sales job in New York City, and at the time decided it was time for a career change, and I wanted to move to San Francisco and become a medical sales rep. So not the easiest task at hand, but I ended up starting off doing a lot of networking, talking with a lot of reps in the business, a lot of sales managers in the business, and a lot of them ultimately referred me to medical recruiters that had helped them in their career along the way. So I ended up speaking with a ton of different recruiters and quickly learned that they're not all created equal, trust me. Some are better than others. The idea is to talk to a bunch of them and then find the one or two that you like and seem to have your best interest in mind and you're getting interviews with, because those are going to be the best bang for your buck. But anyway, side note. So I was working with a number of recruiters over several months unsuccessfully, probably because, you know, transitioning from B2B sales into medical sales is difficult enough, let alone doing it from 3,000 miles away when I couldn't be making interviews. But one of the recruiters I was working with who truly had my best interest in mind, who I liked a lot, Ken Edwards from Edwards Search Group, had an idea. He was busy. He had a lot of job searches to fill. He made a suggestion and offered me a job and said, why don't you come here, work for me, help me maybe fill some positions and make some money while looking for a job? And what better way to find a medical sales job than working in a medical device recruiting firm? On a handshake, I drove the U-Haul across country and been in the same job ever since.
So breaking it down for those that don't know, what exactly is it that a recruiter does? You know, for instance, does it cost any money to use your services? And why can your services be helpful to those looking for a change?
First off, recruiters are valuable assets to companies, and they help companies find specific people and talent to fill various open positions at their company. So like myself, being an independent recruiter, a company may be using me or several independent recruiters to go out there and try to find the right person or people for them to hire for the job. We may even be competing with some of their internal recruiters from HR, all looking for candidates to fill specific jobs. But as an independent recruiter, we're also aware of many different jobs with several different companies at any given time, right? So we're almost like brokers. We have a plethora of opportunities of all levels with different companies we're aware of. And our job is to match up candidates with right opportunities. And we do a lot of networking with each other. It's kind of like real estate. You know, if one recruiter has the job opening and another recruiter has the right candidate and we put them together, then it's a successful sale and placement. So independent recruiters can help in a lot of ways, not just with companies fill direct roles, but with candidates helping to get exposure to multiple different opportunities out there. In terms of a cost, it doesn't cost a candidate anything to have a recruiter help you find the right job in medical sales. We actually get paid by the company when that company hires someone we brought to their attention, right? But if they hire someone that wasn't from us, we don't get anything. So it's kind of an all or nothing deal for us. Recruiters are sales reps, and they're out there in sales, and they only make money if they place you in a job, right? So if they don't think they can place you or make money off of you, they won't spend time with you. So kind of back to my key point earlier is find the right ones for you. Find the right recruiter that has the jobs that you're qualified for, that have your best interest in mind. But if you can work with a good recruiter, it's more than just access to jobs and a database of open positions. I mean, we help with resumes. We help with researching the job and the company and the market segment. We help prep people for the interview and really walk them through the process. And that's important because we're going to make sure you're prepared, but most good recruiters, let's say, should do that anyway, right? At the same time, recruiters, good recruiters that have relationships, have a better chance of securing an interview for you. Well, why? We have a direct line to the hiring managers, and they know if I recommend someone they interview, I know what they're looking for, and they're professionally qualified. So it may not be the person that manager hires, but they know I'm not going to waste their time. So you have a better chance of, you know, a recruiter recommending you to get an interview than just sending your resume into a job posting.
What would you say that you do differently that differentiates you from other recruiters out there?
A few different things. Again, spending time to get to know my clients and candidates is super important. Not all recruiters take the time to do that. Some of the recruiters just want to sell you a job. I differentiate myself in I like to spend time with my candidate and clients to really understand their experience, their skill set, their personality, their aspirations, their expectations, before I even talk about any jobs, right? Because I can't recommend a job or not recommend a job until I get to know you. So that's something that not a lot of recruiters take the time to do. The good ones do that, though, or at least the good ones should be doing it. The main difference I think that I bring even to those recruiters are I understand the difference between experience and skill set. They're not the same, right? Just because you have experience doesn't mean you have the skills and vice versa, right? I can place a candidate that doesn't really fit on paper, but I'm confident has the skill set or the ability to do the job.
I love that. Yep.
So being able to identify someone's ability to do the job versus matching on paper takes time to get to know your people.
100% agree. I remember my fiance had reached out to countless other recruiters before finding you, Russ, and she reached out to them on LinkedIn mostly, and they all told her the same thing, which was you'll never break into medical sales without previous sales experience, which I'm sure a lot of people have been told. You believed in her, and you were able to get her through some of the toughest interviews of her life, and she ended up getting the job. Being a recruiter, Russ, you can get them to the interview, but in the end, it's up to them to get the job. What are the characteristics that you think that people need in order to get the job?
Let me just say this, and this is important. It's not always the best candidate who gets the job. It's the one who interviews the best who gets the job. right? Managers are making a hiring decision after only a few hours together, right? And really, who do we know who's going to be the best rep or manager for the next 5+ years of our company after a few hours together? It's usually whoever interviews the best, right? So, I mean, the interview is important. So we talked about what are some of the key things to be able to differentiate yourself in the interview. I guess, number one, obviously, be prepared. I mean, you really have to know what you're interviewing for. Understand the market. Understand what the product you're asking to sell does, who the competition is. You need to be able to know and explain why you're there interviewing. So I know it sounds kind of simple, but you surprise how many people go in there after a few minutes of just looking at a website. That's not being prepared for an interview, right? Not just the company. You need to research more of their business. Second of all, you need to ask good questions in an interview. I always tell people you can impress someone a lot more by the questions you ask than the statements you make, okay? You need to ask good sales rep questions, good questions based upon your homework, to show the interviewer you've done your homework. Otherwise, you wouldn't know to ask that question, right? And then kind of something you touched on earlier is you have to be able to show them you can close. Sales reps need to close. If you can't close in an interview, how are you going to close in a sales call? So you have to be able to demonstrate that in the interview. Again, it's whoever interviews the best. And then I guess kind of, you know, lastly, be passionate, but be yourself. Right? A genuine passion is good, but it's also important to not try to be someone you're not or you think they want to be, because you run the risk of getting hired with a company you don't belong in. So my advice would be, you know, obviously homework and your questions and stuff, but don't be a robot. Be yourself. Be genuine, and you'll have a higher probability of getting on board with a company whose culture is the best fit for you, and a higher probability you'll be there longer.
That actually reminds me of my first experience breaking into medical sales. As I mentioned in the first episode of this podcast and earlier, I broke into medical sales when the VP of marketing for this medical device company invited me in for an interview. And after I'd served her table at the restaurant, you know, I was working at, I remember going out to buy my first suit for that interview and taking the preparation really seriously, like you said, Russ. I had memorized over hundreds of interview questions and had practiced them in front of my family. When I showed up to the interview, though, I came across as too stiff and robotic. And after interviewing with the regional and national manager, yeah, I was told that I did not get the job and they did not feel like I was the right fit. But before I left, the vice president came up to me and she said, "I'm going to give you another opportunity at another interview." She asked me, "Where was that young man today who I met in the restaurant?" I told her that I was, you know, extremely nervous and that this was my first real opportunity at a better life. And she gave me the opportunity to come back the next week and let your personality shine. So I came back the following week and I just decided to be myself, like you said, let my guard down, and the managers actually had a change of heart and I was hired. So, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that an interview is a lot about showing your true colors and just being yourself. Russ, what would you say is the most important thing that you coach your clients on when they're going through the interview process?
My best advice, now we're talking sales interviews here, right? Because sales interviews are unique to just about any other interview out there, and so are salespeople for that matter. But my best advice in going through the interview or an interview process is to treat it just like a sales call or a sales process. I mean, let's face it, they're buying, you're selling, right? They're buying a rep. They got, you know, 100 grand, 200 grand, but they're looking to buy a rep and they're out there shopping and, you know, you're in front of them and they're going to buy one of you. And why should it be you? So what better way to show your sales ability? Remember I talked about it's not the best person who gets the job, it's the one who interviews the best, right? What better way to demonstrate your sales ability than in a live audition or like a role play? That's what an interview is. They're buying, you're selling. Don't treat it any different. You're going to go in there. Obviously, there's going to be some rapport building, just like the steps of a sales process. You're going to have some chemistry, but you can't show up and throw up and say why you're going to be the best thing for them. You're going to have to qualify them a little bit. Ask some probing questions, needs assessment. What do we need? What are we looking for to purchase with this money, Mr. Hiring Manager? And once you have that information, then present what you bring to the table, feature advantage, benefits according to their need, right? Does this sound like a sales call, right? And it's the same way. You're looking for someone that can do this. You're looking for someone that has done that. I've done that. Let me show you. Here's my bright book. Here it is in the past. And then at the end, it's that same close. Hey, you're looking for someone that does A, B, and C. I need a company with X, Y, and Z. I think it's a good match. Let's get married. What do you say? Right? I mean, it sounds as simple, but it's a sales call. It's a relationship. And don't treat it any different. If you're a salesperson, you should be able to sell yourself.
You hit that spot on. How would my listeners find you, Russ?
Yeah, easy to find. I mean, my website, www.edwardsearch.com, or you can email me, Russ, R-U-S-S, at edwardsearch.com. I'm certainly on LinkedIn, easy to find there. I think even if you Google Russ Medical Recruiter, I come up on the first page. So pretty easy to track down.
Awesome. And my last question is intended to bring, you know, a little light humor into this episode. What is the funniest thing a candidate has ever done in an interview that you've heard about?
I don't know if this is funny, but it may be a little chuckle. I don't know if it's so funny as much as maybe appropriate for our listeners and for our conversation here today. Several years ago, I had a gal interviewing with a top-notch surgical device company, well-known Fortune 500 surgical device company, for a position, had gone through a couple interviews with the hiring manager, had moved on to the field ride step of the process. So for some of you who don't know, if you're breaking into the business, sometimes these companies want to see you out in the field with another rep in front of customers and patients to see how you're going to handle it. So she was set up for her field ride and showed up 6:30 in the morning for surgeries. And I think 7 o'clock was the first surgery that was going to go off. And they go into the operating room, cut the first patient open, and she faints out cold. And if it weren't bad enough, I don't know what she hit on the way down or on the floor, but when she fell, she split her head open. So before her field ride even really got started, she ended up waking up in the ER with a laceration on her head. So,
wow. Yeah.
So the field ride got kind of cut short that day. And she was pretty embarrassed, as you can tell. Like, am I really cut out for this business, right? This is what I want to do for a living, and I didn't make it a half hour. Well, the manager gave her another shot. She had a better breakfast. She had better expectations when she went in. They gave her another shot. She ended up going in, doing awesome, and ultimately actually got the job. Did very well, had a long career with the company. So maybe not a funny story, but a story that you can look back on and chuckle. But just remind your listeners, never give up, no matter what. Don't give up.
I also heard about a guy who was doing a video interview for a very large company. The computer he was doing the interview on would ask a question, and he'd have to record his answer to send to management. He had about 30 seconds, no more, no less, to answer the question. For one question, however, he ran out of things to talk about. So he decided to stand really still and not blink for 15 seconds to make it look like the video froze.
Did the hiring manager know? Did anyone ever say anything?
I don't think so. I think they bought it, but it's hilarious. But it actually makes a great point. You know, in sales, it's so important to be able to think on your toes and be creative.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, interviewing is scary to everybody. You know, it's okay to be nervous, and interviewers know that too. So be yourself, like we've said throughout this conversation.
Really appreciate you coming on this episode. It really means a lot that you took the time to speak with me.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. I really hope I was able to help.
I think you've given a lot of people out there hope, and now they know that there are a lot of different avenues to find that gig they've always wanted to pursue, when previously they just weren't sure how. Remember, proper coaching mixed with letting your personality shine and being persistent is a great recipe for success. You can find Russ on edwardsearch.com or reach out to him directly at Russ, R-U-S-S, at edwardsearch.com. I'm going to leave you, like I will after every episode, with a sincere thank you for tuning in and a little food for thought to carry along with you for the rest of your day. Henry Ford once said, "The whole secret of a successful life is to find out what is one's destiny to do and then do it."